Well, here we are again on this broadcast called Transforming Grace. My name is Roger Pascoe, and I welcome you to this program. It's a real delight for me to be with you from week to week and to share with you from God's Word as we study the Gospel of John together. We dedicate these messages to the Lord and trust that they will be to the praise of His glorious grace, and we're confident that His word will not return to him void, but will accomplish his purposes in your life. Now, as we begin our study again today, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for this broadcast and for all of those who faithfully listen to this program. And we pray that your grace will indeed transform their lives, and that as we study your word together, they will grow in their understanding of you and in their relationship with you. And I pray that any who listen who are not Christians, who have never trusted you as Savior, may do so today. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we got partway through our passage last time in John's Gospel chapter 6, and the passage is verses 16 to 21, a passage that we have entitled Rediscovering Jesus. This is the story of Jesus calming the storm. And we noticed last time that storms or troubles, unexpected events, can often enter into our lives and rock our faith. Troubles arise at the most unexpected times. Sometimes when we're being obedient to God even. Another times when we're least able to handle them. We also notice that troubles arise for us to make the most unexpected discoveries. Through troubles, we discover our own weaknesses, and through troubles, we discover Jesus' greatness. And this is where we left off the last time, at verse 20. So let me read again for you from verse 19 of John's Gospel, chapter 6. The disciples are in the Sea of Capernaum, and the storm has arisen, and it says, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, verse 20, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. So we finished up last time talking about this expression, "It is I." And we ask the question, why would Jesus use that expression to describe himself? And we remembered that back in Exodus, that's the same expression by which God identified himself to Moses, telling Moses to say to the children of Israel that "I am" has sent me to you. And we ask the question, why would God call himself "I am"? And my thought is that God called himself "I am" because the problem of the people of Israel back in Exodus wasn't knowing what God can do, but it was knowing who God is. You remember I said last time they had been in slavery for 400 years in Egypt, and perhaps many of their experiences were with God in times past were now just history to them. All of the great experiences of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all of their forefathers, they were just stories now, and they themselves in Egypt perhaps hadn't seen God act in powerful ways as he had in times past. And they needed to rediscover and know God again. And so God said to Moses, "Tell them that I am sent you. Because if they know who I am, then they'll know what I can do." You see, if they know that "I am who I am," which is what he said in Exodus 3, verse 14. If they know that "I am the eternal God," if they know that "I am the self-existing God," if they know that "I am the ever-present one," if they know that "I am the all-knowing and all-powerful one," the one who has no past and the one who has no future because I am the ever-present one, then If they know who I am, they will certainly know what I can do. If they know that I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King, according to Isaiah 43 and verse 15. If they know I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, Isaiah 42 and verse 8. If they know that I am the first and the last, and beside me there is no God, Isaiah 44 and verse 6. If they know that I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, Isaiah 44 and verse 24. If they know I am the Lord and there is no other, there is no God beside me, Isaiah 45 and verse 5. If they know to look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other, Isaiah 45 and 22. If they know I am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob, Isaiah 49 and verse 26. If they know that I am the resurrection and the life, that he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he who lives and believes in me shall never die, John 11 and verse 25. If they know that I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14 and verse 6. If they know that I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, who was and who is to come, the Almighty, Revelation 1 and verse 8. If they know that I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, Revelation 1 and verse 18. If they know that, if they know who I am, then they will know what I can do. And if there ever was a time when the disciples needed to know who Jesus was, if there ever was a time when the disciples needed to rediscover Jesus, if there ever was a time when the disciples needed to know who Jesus is and what he can do, it was now. And Jesus comes to them on the water and says, I am, it is I. It's as though Jesus is saying to them, I am the one who parted the Red Sea. I am the one who brought forth water from the rock in the wilderness. I am the one who rained down manna in the wilderness. I am the one who provided clothes and shoes for the people that did not wear out in all of those years as they wandered in the wilderness. I am the one who protected the people with a cloud by day and fire by night. I am the one who demolished the walls of Jericho. I am the one who scattered their enemies. And Jesus says to the disciples, that's who I am. Before I deliver you from the storm, know who it is who delivers you. Before I comfort you in your trouble, know who it is who comforts you. Before I help you in your crisis, know who it is who helps you. And before I exercise my power on your behalf, you need to know who it is who is all-powerful. You see, God wants you to know that Jesus is the eternal God. You must know his person before you seek his power. You must appreciate his worth before you experience his works. You must seek his wisdom before you see his wonders. You must trust his sovereignty before you test his strength. You must believe in his divinity before you benefit from his deeds. You must rejoice in his character before you receive his care. And you must love his nature before you lavish in his nourishment. We need to know today the great I am, not just because of what he can do, but because of who he is. Indeed, who he is the foundation of what he can do. Because he is the great I am, he is able to do marvelous things for us and in us. One writer said this, "It's absurd for Christians to constantly seek for new demonstrations of God's power, to expect a miraculous answer to every human need. This only leads to faith in miracles instead of faith in God. Isn't that true? When we look for God's power to be exercised on our behalf at every instance and every time something goes wrong, all we're looking for is the benefit from His power without exercising any faith in God. We need to know that Jesus is our eternal God. And it's often in the unexpected events of life where we rediscover Jesus afresh as He says to us, I am is here. If you know that I am the eternal God, you will know that I'm on your side. If you know that I am the eternal God, you will know that I can help and protect you in all of your troubles, because I am your refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So let me ask you, have you discovered who Jesus is? Have you rediscovered in your Christian life who Jesus is? Do you have a deep, personal, and abiding relationship with Him? Is He your Savior and eternal God, the one whom you trust not only for the circumstances of your life, but for eternity? Through troubles, then, we discover Jesus' greatness. We discover that He is our eternal God, and we discover that Jesus is our gracious comforter. After revealing who He is in our story here in John 6, He provides the disciples with comfort. After saying, "It is I," He declares, "Don't be afraid," in verse 20. When they heard His voice, they knew who He was. Their fear was dispelled, and they willingly received Him into the boat. Troubles reveal Jesus' greatness as our gracious comforter. In times of darkness and loneliness, He gives us a more tender and gracious sense of His comfort and presence than we would ever experience in times of joy. When Jesus steps into the storm of our circumstances, the fierce waves become our delight. The winds fill our sails. The spray beats on our faces, and we say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Storms bring Him near to us, so be sure that storms don't drive you away from Him. They can do that so easily, can't they? Satan comes in and starts to sow seeds of doubt in our minds. And the storm itself, rather than drawing us to God, drives us away from Him. Through troubles, we discover Jesus' greatness, that He is the I Am, our eternal God. We discover that He is our gracious comforter. And we discover that Jesus is our powerful deliverer. Christ's presence in the boat brings them to dry ground. Immediately, it says in verse 21, the boat was at the land. As soon as they recognized Him and received Him into the boat, the tempest was over. Their toiling ceased. The journey ended, and they were at the land. This is the wonder of the Christian experience. When Jesus appears to us in the storm and we recognize Him and receive Him into our circumstances, the tossing sea doesn't just become calm, but we stand immediately on firm ground. Oh, it isn't that Christ automatically erases all of our troubles. It isn't that He suddenly and supernaturally dispels all of our crises and unexpected events. But rather, when He comes into our circumstances and we receive Him in the midst of those circumstances, we become more than conquerors, the Bible says. He gives us strength and hope. He changes our attitude. He shares our burdens. He stands between us and the enemy. And He's all that we need. There once was a man in the church that I pastored who was a very godly man and very respected in the church. And he died a few years ago. And the last words that he said to his wife were these: God is all you need, but you'll never know it until God is all you've got. You'll never know the truth of the sufficiency of Christ until you have no other resource and you hear him say, "It is I. Don't be afraid." When the night seems the darkest, he brings comfort. When the storm rages the loudest, he comes to us, walking on the very waters that threaten to swallow us up. And in these moments, we learn more of Jesus Christ than we would ever otherwise know. I have experienced this in my own life, as you probably have as well, in some of the dark, depressing days, when I suffered from extended fatigue for many years. I learned more about God than I ever did before. And it was in those dark times of life that I wrote a poem that expresses this experience. This is what it says. It's called In Quietness and Confidence. This is what I wrote. You make my way perfect as you guide me with your eye. You whisper, come this way, and in green pastures lie. You help me climb to heights that men have never trod. You draw me to your presence to feel the heart of God. As I rest in you, Lord, I know that you are there. As I wait upon you, Lord, I know your tender care. For it's only when I'm quiet, peaceful, and still that I learn the truth about you and your perfect will. Lord, I want to know you more dearly every day, to be more like you as I tread this earthly way. Lord, I want to serve you with vigor and with grace, then hear your sweet well done and see your blessed face. Then, free from all the troubles of this present place, I'll revel in the sweetness of your strong embrace. I'll praise you, precious Savior, in your home above. I'll rest from all my labor and glory in your love. Troubles arise at the most unexpected times. In times when we're being obedient to God and times when we're least able to handle these troubles. Troubles arise for the most unexpected discoveries. Through troubles we discover our weakness, the inadequacy of our human resources, and the obscurity of our human perspective when we can't even recognize who God is and what he is doing. Through troubles we discover Jesus' greatness, that he is the eternal God, that he is our gracious comforter, and that he is our powerful deliverer. This is when we rediscover Jesus in the storms of life. This is when we see afresh who he is and what he can do. Remember, we rediscover who Jesus is when we recognize him and receive him into all of our circumstances. This sign, as John calls it, is recorded in Scripture so that, like the disciples, we may discover afresh the divinity of our great Creator and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that, like the disciples, we may see him as the Lord of the universe, the one who rules the winds and the waves and every circumstance of our lives. And so that, like the disciples, we might respond in the only appropriate way. That is, by worshiping him and confessing, as is recorded in Matthew's account, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Matthew chapter 14, verse 33. And I'm going to ask all of you who are listening to this program today to respond to him now, in the quietness of this moment, as you bow your heads and worshiping him for who he is. No matter who you are or what your circumstances might be, no matter if you're a young person or an adult, no matter if you're a parent or a grandparent, whether you're single or married, no matter if you're poor or rich, doesn't matter if you're suffering from ill health or broken relationships. May this message be a challenge to you today to be spiritually prepared to handle the troubles of life that often assail you, to be aware of the frailty and insufficiency of your own abilities, to recognize the limitations of your own resources and the abundant resources of our all-sufficient God, to recognize Jesus and submit to Him as Lord, to see Jesus in all of your disappointments and trials, and to embrace Him in the midst of them, to give Jesus Christ first place in your life, to renew your commitment today to make God the center of your life, the center of your personal life, the center of your family life, the center of your church life, and to hunger after Him and to glory in Him. And if you've not already done so, to be reconciled to God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust Him as Savior alone. Well, I trust that this message has been an encouragement and a challenge to you. And until we're together again the next time on this program, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God bless you.